Welcome to the Cashflow Champs podcast, the show where we demystify real estate investing so you have the tools you need to gain financial freedom through passive investments in real estate.
Thanks for joining us today on the Cashflow Champs Real Estate Podcast. We really appreciate you being here with us.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Thanks so much. Just a little bit about Jorge. Jorge Abreu has been investing in real estate for over 16 years now. He started in single family and small multifamily properties and eventually worked his way up to larger 100 plus unit multifamily properties. Jorge has wholesaled over 250 single family properties. He's also fixed and flipped over 200 single family homes as well. He has developed and completed several new development projects, over $40 million in ground up construction. He also started and built a construction company, bringing in over $30 million in yearly revenue and growing. He is now an active and passive full-time multifamily real estate investor. Jorge and his company, Elevate Combined, have acquired over almost 8,000 multifamily units as a main deal sponsor. He has gone full cycle and exited almost 1,300 doors currently and has $550 million asset under management. His goal is to reach 10,000 doors by the end of 2023 by creating strategic partnership and implementing the proper systems in place for scalability. So Jorge, I want to really thank you for being here today. Just an impressive resume so far. He's focused on growing the Elevate team in 2023 to be able to properly manage an expected growth. So thank you for being here. Impressive resume. Just want to give you the floor just for a minute as we delve into this podcast. Just tell us a little bit about your background, anything we have missed here that you'd like to add to your bio.
Absolutely. Thanks, Paul. I appreciate the intro there. I've been on this real estate investing journey for going on 17 years now, I think. I graduated with an electrical engineering degree out of Florida International University and went to work for UPS in their engineering department, but really that wasn't my long-term plan. You know, during college, I already knew I didn't want to be an engineer. I wanted to start my own company. I wasn't sure what exactly, but I got really interested in real estate investing and started looking more into it. So while I was working that engineering job, I was also investing on the side. And then finally started closing enough deals where I quit my W-2. So that was about roughly 17 years ago. And since then, you know, it's been a journey. I've started in the single family space and did a ton of fix and flips, and I've done some seller finance. I've done ground up, I had a smaller rental portfolio. And then it was about 6 years ago, I got introduced to large multifamily syndications, and I fell in love with it instantly. Right, it was right off the bat, closing one deal, I already had that economy of scales that had taken me years to build, doing the smaller multi and the single family. So I put all my focus towards it. Went all in, sold whatever single family and smaller units I had, and like you mentioned, you know, since then we've transacted on quite a bit of deals, really focused on continuing to grow that portfolio, provide good deals for our investors to invest in. And that's it, man.
No, that's just awesome, man. That is beautiful in terms of, you in 6 years has accomplished just so much. It just shows that, I mean, it is possible, right? And guys like you are leading the way and definitely taking the charge in terms of, showing how it can be done. Myself too was in the single family space, and, coming over to the multifamily space is kind of newer for me too, just 3 years in. And, it's a wonderful thing to be here. But I'm intrigued because you said you went to school for engineering and you end up in real estate. Of course, I'm similar in terms of I was thinking medicine and then end up in real estate too. But what was your influence at first to get into engineering? I mean, was it something of your desire, or you think you were kind of pushing that direction?
You know, it really wasn't a desire other than the fact that I've always been really good with numbers. So that part came easy to me. So, engineering's got lot of numbers. So that's the path I went down, but there wasn't really a strong desire to be an engineer.
So basically, you know, you move from single family space to multifamily. Would you just make a comparison between how you were doing in single family and when you moved into multifamily, how was the scalability and how fast you could grow? I mean, for our audience, you know, we would like to kind of get that glimpse, you know, you were doing this much in pre-multifamily and after multifamily, this was kind of a eye-opening thing for you. Can you do some comparison?
For sure. So, okay, leading up to going into large multifamily, I had one point built up, I can't remember exactly how many units, let's say maybe 50 units or so, and it was kind of spread out between small multi and single family. And it was a ton of work. Like with that, I was doing a lot of, me and my team were doing a lot of the management side of it. I didn't have a third party property manager. There was no staff on site, obviously. So it was a lot of work. You know, there was times where we would have to go collect the rents and do this and do that. So I sold that off as the market continued to heat up. You know, I sold all those and I started focusing on mainly just fix and flips. So we were adding second stories to houses. We were completely gutting them and renovating them. And I love doing that. I love transforming a property. But at the scale, so at the top, we were probably maybe doing 50 of those a year or so, plus wholesaling another 100 plus properties. So it was very transactional. I mean, you know, closing after closing after closing, and then building out the construction team and checking on everything. I mean, I was running around with my head cut off, and, you know, adding team members, but still it wasn't, I felt like I ran into a brick wall. Like how can I possibly scale this more than I am already? And then I found multifamily syndications and taking down, you know, 100 plus units, which the first one was actually only 37 units. And I learned I learned from that one a lot, because one, we still had to be more hands-on at that point. We didn't have enough to have the proper staff on site with 37 units. So from there, we decided we weren't going to do anything less than 100 units. We ended up doing a 216 unit right after that, then 100, right under 200 units. And then we jumped over to a 1200 unit portfolio. And from there did an 850 unit property. And, you know, now our deals are maybe on average 300 or so units. That's kind of the sweet spot we like. And it just makes the management part of it a lot easier. It allows you to, you know, take down these big deals and have the on-site team to where you're more managing them versus actually managing the property, and allows you to scale faster.
Yeah, that is awesome. I mean, what you are saying is, you know, so many years worth of work, which took you to maybe 50, 60 units or 100 units in total. But then suddenly after jumping into multifamily, you were even able to acquire portfolio worth 1,200 units at one point, and the sweet spot is 300 units. How many deals are you currently doing in a year, just for our audience, you know?
Yeah, our goal this year is to do 12 deals total. You know, it's we're in an interesting market, to say the least, right? We're still hopeful that we can get there, but that was our goal. You know, in 2021, I want to say we closed maybe 19 or 18 transactions, over 3,000 units. And then things have gotten a little rockier with the market since then. You know, last year we I can't remember exactly how many transactions, but it was less than that for sure.
I mean, this is super awesome. What you can achieve in multifamily. Obviously, number of units is one thing. I mean, at the end of the day, the profitability in business counts. You know, maybe you are making X amount in with your 100 or 50 units earlier, and maybe you are making, you know, whatever. But overall, it's a 10x business. You know, you have scaled your business from one level to a different level completely. Is that a fair statement?
That's a fair statement. I mean, you know, some I've heard others say this, and they're not wrong, right? You're going to have a bigger piece of the pie if you want to go with the smaller units and maybe try to JV it and not syndicate it and bring your own money. Fair enough, but you're also going to take up all your time managing that. Where if you take maybe a smaller piece of that pie and you're able to scale it and you're able to put in a team, because with scale, you can then bring on a team, right? And if you build the right team, then you can add more time to yourself. And that's my goal, right? I want to build something bigger than me and kind of buy my time back in a sense.
So it really sounds like it has to be very intentional from the beginning. You know, those who are getting into real estate, it should be a very intentional approach. Yes, to your point, getting into smaller deals, four family or whatever, having a bigger pie, but you end up spending more time on those deals. If you were given an opportunity or if you had that light bulb in the beginning, would you say that you would start from the multifamily from the beginning? Like in what would be your thought on that?
Absolutely. I mean, I do not think you have to start with single family. I learned a lot for sure. A lot of experience, a lot of, you know, I've been through a down cycle. I understand what we're about to go through. You know, not every recession is the same, but, you know, I realized that the market's not always going up, right? That you really got to know your operations and know what's going on. Yeah. So, I mean, those things, great experience, but I don't feel like it's a necessity. I think you can go straight into large multifamily. I do think you should partner with experienced individuals though. You know, that's a big difference between single family and multifamily, that co-GP and partnering with others is very accepted. So I do suggest you partner with somebody and learn from them on however many deals it takes you to do that. But yeah,
and so I want to dig into that just a little bit more too, because my path is very similar to yours. I mean, I real estate broker in the Maryland, D.C. area for about 16 years. And, you know, during that, you kind of build a single family portfolio, just like, you know, to a couple dozen property. And yeah, you do run into that bottleneck. And, you know, you're like, man, have I learned about this earlier, then it would make a tremendous difference. I mean, so you make reference of one partnering with operators who are already there. Maybe you can add some more to that. I mean, how does someone who want to skip the whole single family realm of real estate investing step right into the multifamily space? What are some things they probably need to think about in terms of doing that that would help them to transition into that space?
I mean, I think the first step is to get educated, right? It's completely different than single family.
Yeah.
The way you value properties, the fact that you're buying a business, not just a single family home. You really need to understand the ins and outs of that. And then if you want to speed things up, I do suggest getting a coach. You know, I got coaching before I did the single family. I got coaching before I did the multifamily. Learn from somebody else's experience, right, is the idea there. And then find one of the aspects that it takes to do a multifamily syndication, which, you know, if you break it down real simple, it's finding the deal or bringing the money. Right. You know, if you're good at one of those two, and you can break it down a little bit further, you got to manage the deal. If you're really good at managing operating deals, that could also work. And then maybe even to the point where if you're really good at underwriting, you can maybe get yourself into some partnerships as well. But the main two are finding a deal and bringing the equity. At first, maybe focus on one of those, leverage that to another team that's experienced and do some deals there, learn hands-on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And and there may be a space there for those who want to, it's all your desire and your goal, right? There are people who want to comfortable in the single family space and that they want, that's where they want to be, don't want to scale and things like that. That's perfectly okay to be there too. But what we're talking about here is that if you wish to scale your portfolio to get in the thousands of units, it's going to be pretty difficult for you to be doing it one by one in terms of single family to get there, at least, you know, unless you're going to live to be 1,000 years old, right?
Yeah. And look, some want to stay doing single family. What I suggest for those are at least invest passively in multifamily,
right,
and take the depreciation that you can get from doing that so that you don't get overly taxed on your single family earnings.
So what I'm hearing really is there seems to be no need. If you are hungry for scaling your business, there seems to be no need for one to start, you know, baptized in the single family home. There's no need for one to have bigger chunk of money sitting to get into multifamily. It seems like as long as you have learned the business, you know, the coaching is important, what I'm hearing. And as long as you have learned the business, if you are good in finding the deal or potentially have good connections to raise equity, you can jump into multifamily space. Do you really need a lot of equity from your own money? I mean, can somebody out of college start into multifamily? What's your thought on that?
Absolutely. I mean, if they got the skill sets to hustle and find the deal, for sure. And if they've got connections or don't mind, you know, networking and making those connections and building up equity, I mean, there's no reason why they can't.
So, and what is the importance of a coach or somebody who can handhold their hands? What is the importance of that in this journey?
You know, I think there's a lot of free content you can get out there for sure, right? You know, I put a lot of it out. I'm sure you guys do too, and find a ton of it on YouTube and whatnot. And that's great for soaking in the knowledge, you know, soak it all in. But to kind of lay out that path of what it looks like and, you know, what not to do or what you should do, I think that's where a coach comes in and helps you get there quicker.
What is that? I mean, I know you have a group also. What is that you are? I mean, how are you helping folks besides your coach, paid coaching or whatever? How? What is that you are doing to expand your presence in the market in terms of the equity investors?
So you're asking me what are we doing right now to find more equity investors?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, we do all kinds of stuff, right? When it comes to marketing, we're on all the major social media platforms, constantly posting content, very consistent with it, you know, on a daily basis. We do blogs, we go on podcasts, right? Speaking at events, a lot of networking. We've done a little bit of paid ads. We're probably going to do a little bit more here coming soon. And that's it, you know. And then when the leads come in, obviously we have systems and procedures of how we handle those leads, and we got the team that reaches out to them, and we make sure we touch base and kind of learn what they need, right? We don't just assume. We don't just try to get them straight into a deal, right? We want to know, okay, what are you looking for? Are you looking more for constant cash flow, or are you just trying to multiply your money as quick as possible? Or we find out those goals and then try to fit them into the right deals. you know, other things there too. We got a lot of referrals now as well from our current investors and the investor relations part of it plays a big part too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks for that. You know, Jorge, it's a different market now than even say 6 months ago, even a year and a half ago. Totally is the totally different market than what we're in right now. I mean, I don't know if you can speak to this, but do you find it more challenging raising equity in this type of market? I mean, what type of some of the challenges you're having right now? I know the Fed's been raising interest rate consecutively over the past couple of months and things like that. I don't know what type of impact it has in your business. Can you talk about how things are going in the business right now, what type of challenges you're facing in this environment we're in?
Yeah, we're definitely, you know, it's a little more challenging to raise equity for sure. I would say it's probably even more challenging to find good deals that pencil with today's market. But for the most part, you know, as long as we're educating our investors, we haven't seen too much of that sitting on the sideline. You know, we've definitely heard it, and it doesn't help that, you know, the media, the way they portray some things, and just like the world's coming to the end, which,
yeah.
I mean, with some of the stuff that's happening with yeah. the banks collapsing and the Fed continuing to raise rates, you know, it definitely does feel like that sometimes, but it's a cycle, right? Everybody knows it's a market cycle, and then there's corrections, and
right.
There's things that we can't control. So we focus on the things we can control. And then I always go back and look historically, right? You know, if we're getting into a deal at a decent basis where we feel, you know, we're not extremely overpaying for something, and we go in it with decent debt and capitalize it correctly. Like if a property's cash flowing and you've got the terms on your debt to continue to cash flow it, you're going to be fine, right? Going back historically, real estate has always gone up.
Right.
It's got certain dips, the cycle, but
right.
Yeah. So I think just educating that to our investors and that helps.
That's awesome. And so are you branching out in more markets in this place, or what are your primary markets that you're kind of working with now in terms of, you know, continue to bring value to your investor opportunities to your investors?
Yeah, we do a good mixture of, you know, sticking with really strong markets that we like a DFW here in Dallas, or a couple other Texas markets, and then Florida markets that have been strong. The thing with those really strong markets, it always gets harder and harder to find deals, right? Because everybody's going towards those markets. So at the same time that we're looking for deals there and doing deals in those type of markets, we always try to find those kind of sleeper ones that have good data. You know, the population growth is growing, the job growth, and maybe it's not oversaturated and it's still undervalued. So we've always been pretty good at finding those markets and being able to do some deals in those, kind of capturing that value before those areas get oversaturated.
So how big is the internal team? You know, I know, you know, you guys are expanding, but what is the structure of your internal organization who's handling the business? I know you are on the top, you have a partner also, and there might be other folks who are doing things, investor relations, you know, property manager, construction. What is the structure, you know? Is that something you can share?
I can try. So, you know, within Elevate, I'm the CEO, that is my title, and mainly the visionary and helping build out the team. I still play a pretty significant role in the acquisitions and the asset management, kind of like on the high level of it. But we do have a director of asset management. We've got a director of acquisitions. I've got my partner and co-founder, Eric, who is our CEO, who kind of charge of the daily operations. And then we've got our partner, Brian, who handles mainly the equity raising and our investors. We're bringing on an investor relations right now in the next couple of weeks that is going to be mainly just focused on talking to our investors and raising equity. Then we've got the construction team, which I'm also the CEO of that company, but I've got a really strong team under me where somewhat self-sufficient. And then we brought on property management, where we actually brought on some partners, one to be the CEO and one to be the CEO of Elevate Real Estate Management. So, you know, I'm able to stay pretty on the high level on that one as well.
So, I mean, overall, how many, I mean, in the immediate company, how many employees would you say you would have in each sections, you know, operations, asset management, investor relations, their employees or their contractors, their partners? How do you have that structured?
All in all, between the three companies, there's maybe about 45 or so in total between partners and employees.
Got it. No, I didn't mean to go too much into it. I just, you know, I wanted to, the important thing is the structure of the business, you know.
Yeah. We've kept the overhead as light as we possibly can as we grow. We're trying not to have this massive overhead. That's always the hard thing with multifamily syndication, right? It's not a ton of cash flow for the syndicator. So, you know, it's hard to have a large overhead. So we've been very, you know, we kind of wait till that bottleneck is coming, we feel it coming, and then we start preparing for it. And then with the other two companies, it's different with the construction and the management. You know, there's constant cash flow. So we leverage that as well.
Yeah, syndication is, you're right. Syndication is not a really cash flowing business, except that you get a bunch of fees upfront, and then there is a dry spell of so many years. You know, you get a little bit of fees, but that really doesn't take care of things too much. And it's very difficult to kind of put employees in the position and pay the salaries and overheads and whatnot. Not totally understood, unless there's a cash flow, you cannot remain afloat, you know, to begin with. I mean, unless you have done a couple of exits and then you reinvest the money back in the business. That's awesome. You know, I didn't mean to go too much, you know, I just wanted to make sure that we get the glimpse in the sense that, you know, there's an operations department, there's an asset management, there's a property management company, there is a construction management company. And, you know, overall, you are the visionary and your partner is there. So that's just the structure, you know, for our audiences, you know, audience who want to become an active syndicator, something for them to look up to, that at some point they will have to do that. So that was the basic idea. So overall, I mean, how would you say your journey has been? Has it been great, good moments, bad moments? What is the general feeling in this business? You know, I mean, you have skilled so much. So what is your, you know, like heart to heart, you know, so many years, what do you feel about that?
I mean, look, overall, I love it. I enjoy it. It's definitely a business that keeps you on your toes, right? The operations part of it is very intense. And if you want to be a good operator, you know, you've got to have a good team. It's not, I wouldn't say operating these deals is an easy thing, right? Like if especially if you want to maximize your investors' returns and really maximize the NOI of these properties, you got to continually be pushing. And then you've got the market and things like COVID and the Fed deciding to raise rates. So I mean, you definitely got to be flexible, and you've got to be constantly adjusting. Like the ones that are not flexible and don't adjust, they get eliminated.
And what is the ratio you would think that elimination is? I would see that, you know, 90% of the people do get dropped off, I guess, those who are not able to sustain.
Yeah, I mean, now's when it happens, right? So when you start going into a down cycle, you'll see some syndicators disappear and they'll have to find something else to do or go back to their W-2s or whatever it is. You know, same thing I saw in 08. So it is what it is, but just to me, I love it. It's a great business. You just got to make sure that you're able to adjust pretty much with the market.
These are some deeper, you know, nuggets that you are telling, even though you are just saying what you are saying, but it is important for the newer bees to come and listen to these things so that they understand. I mean, this is the experience which, you know, obviously you are sharing.
Yeah. I try to keep it real. You know, I try to keep full transparency here. I'm not going to tell you it's rainbows and sunshines all the time. I mean, there's some real work that gets done and you got to be ready to roll up your sleeves. But overall, I mean, I love it for sure.
So we are getting into lightning round. One piece of advice that impacted your life and how do you think it could help others, you know, if there is anything that comes to your mind?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I get asked this a lot and I try to, I usually try to think of something else, but I go right back to it, which is, you know, I thought about all the different things I was doing and the journey of real estate. But as I made that transition from single family to multifamily, I believe, what was it? I think I was reading Traction, the book Traction, and it talked about focus and kind of really focusing on one thing and not being spread so thin. And that kind of hit me hard because I was spread pretty thin at that time. And once I really started focusing, I saw, you know, that business, which was multifamily real estate, is what I was going to focus on, really started to grow exponentially. So I would say focus. You know, there's a ton of noise out there. There's a lot of different ways to make money, a lot of different ways, especially within real estate. But pick that one and really put your time and focus on it. And once you've got that conquered and you've got it working, then maybe you can kind of dabble into some other, whether it's different asset classes or just, you know, even the vertically integrated. I don't suggest being vertically integrated right off the bat. You know, I suggest kind of bringing that in as you grow.
Yeah. Awesome. That's a great advice. You know, remain focused. You know, possibly if you can have a coach, you know, that's what the message I think I got. And develop your skill set. You don't need to have a lot of equity upfront to get into this business. You can hold somebody's hand and go further step by step, I guess. And you don't need to, kind of expand in all the areas, you know, do what you like, you are good at. And as you grow in that space, you can add other pieces of the business, you know, like property management or construction into your business.
Yep, you got it.
So that's all I'm getting. I'm trying to summarize, you know, things so that people get the maximum in few sentences. I really appreciate Paul. Do you have any last questions?
Yeah, share with the audience rather, Jorge, some of the personal habits that you practice pretty much all the time. Some things that you practice on a personal basis that helps your business grow.
You know, first one's more personal than anything, but staying active. I work out every morning pretty much. I miss some here and there, but for the most part, you know, that gets me going and gets me in the right mindset to start the day off. You know, I use as much software and systems that I can to help me be really efficient with my time. Live and die by my calendar. and we use software.
So you do planning like the week ahead, you plan out your week ahead pretty much in terms of how you're going to operate?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got months in advance, pretty much at times. You know, things change here and there. But yeah, I mean, I've got trips planned months in ahead, what properties I'm going to be at, and check, you know, events that I'm going to be at. And
right.
And then every day I kind of prep. So at the end of my day, I'm prepping for the next day. I see what I've got and just making sure I'm prepared for it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Any recommended books for especially those who are starting out, getting into this business that come to mind, or just book in general that you think may be effective for somebody who want to learn this business or business in general?
I mean, business in general, I would already mention Traction. I think that's a great one. Multifamily wise, I think Joe Fairless's book is amazing. Best ever multifamily something.
Best ever something, right?
yeah, exactly. That one's really detailed and it's good.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, listen, Jorge, I want to thank you so much for being a part of the Cashflow Champs Real Estate Podcast today. I really appreciate your time and all that you're doing. I think you're a big inspiration for a lot of people, and what you accomplished is nothing short of amazing. So I wish you continued success in 2023 and the years beyond. Really appreciate you being here. And I just want to say thank you one more time.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the Cashflow Champs Podcast. Cashflow Champs partners with busy working professionals and entrepreneurs that want to build and maintain generational wealth through real estate. Visit cashflowchamps.com to learn more about us.